Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast, episode 915, as we continue to look at seasons 1 through 3 of the epic series Snowfall. We're now at season 2, episode 6, The Offer. Quick recap: Franklin helps Alton, Teddy schools Matt, and Kevin gets the offer. An offer. Themes: family and betrayal. And it added also desperation too, but family and betrayal. We see throughout the course of this episode, people within their own families really are putting themselves in positions where decisions have to be made. Family members are, in some ways, the threats of some of our major characters or friends, in the case, of course, one Kevin. And, we're more than halfway through the season. So a number of these characters are being put in situations where someone is going to have to get betrayed. Like there's no, and we've already seen betrayal from the villain Wave of Family Within in terms of Pedro. We'll talk about that. So those are the two main themes of this episode, family and betrayal. We begin with the deep dive. A scene that was, that has something to do with family and maybe so much not betrayal. Well, betrayal, yeah, it was a betrayal because of what transpired. Also, some family dysfunction. So we have a scene where Franklin's close friend, Rob's father, has stole 2 keys of Franklin's cocaine to fund his movie studio. Of course, pornographic movie studio and pictures. And he, of course, does not know that that Franklin funded Rob those 2 keys. He figures in his mind, Rob's dad is saying, "Hey, I've raised you all these years in terms of Franklin, but in terms of Rob, my calculations that costs about $200,000." So we get to this scene. It's Franklin, Jerome, Peaches. You have Rob and his dad, and basically Rob's dad is a sleazy piece of shit. Like he's absolutely a piece of shit. His justification for stealing, the money, not excuse me, the cocaine is just insane. There's no justification for it whatsoever. You see, what Rob has had to deal with all his life, having a dad like that. He looks at Rob. Somebody complains to Rob about being basically a taker. All you do is take, take, take. Even Jerome was like, that's a fucked up thing to say to your dad. So it gets to a point to where Jerome, tells him, "Hey, man, slap your daddy." And then Jerome has some of the best one-liners on the show, and Jerome has Rob slap his dad, and a couple times. And of course, Rob doesn't go all out. This is his dad. You see Jerome, take lead, smack his dad around, and really play into Rob's dad before Franklin intervenes. Franklin, of course, they don't get. Of course, all the money is gone. Excuse me, the keys, the 2 keys are gone. Franklin, there's no way that the guy could make Franklin whole because his company is going the company is basically borderline bankrupt. They're losing money left and right. So Franklin gives Rob a pass with this situation. The main part of this scene was, again, the family dysfunction, that you have a guy who thinks his son owes him something and doesn't see his son as, there's no love here. There's just pure, there's just, he sees his son as kind of like a business. As a business and as a thing per se. Even when they started talking to Franklin, say, "Hey, we let you stay here and so on and so on. I connected you with Avi, and that's how you got to this business." So Frank, so we're dealing with a guy who there's no humanity from Rob's dad. He is strictly about the dollars and cents. Everything is strictly transactional. And this scene was just not made up per se. I mean, we see this You see this in society with parents and kids and things of that nature, where materialistic things get in the way of actual love and compassion and human connection. So I think the scene played off that extremely well. And it, again, explained that father's, you know, it gave a, you know, gave us a glimpse into the father-son dynamic between Rob and his dad. And despite all of this, you know, Rob still has, and despite the fact that, you know, his dad has been a piece of shit to him, he still has enough humanity and compassion. But generally, Rob's a good guy. Like, Rob is generally, you know, generally Rob is a good guy on this show. He still finds the compassion to tell Jerome, like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, he, you know, calm down or whatever, in terms of slapping his dad. And, you know, and Jerome basically says, why you give a shit? Well, because he's my dad. So Rob, his dad's piece of shit, being a piece of shit, has not been passed on to Rob. Rob does have compassion, does have humanity. Very funny, very hilarious scene because of Jerome and just the whole scene in general. You know, Jerome's thinking they're going to see naked women. It turns out there was a gay porn, and Jerome was, of course, let down by that. Franklin, again, gives Rob a semi-pass from the basically a pass, says he's good for it. And there basically is nothing that Franklin could get out of this situation that's going to help his organization. That's where Franklin is thinking at this point, especially at this point in the season. Best scenes, Matt and Teddy. So Matt and Teddy go on a trip with Avi to Panama. They are going to, you know, just make sure that everything is copacetic as far as their deal with the their arms deal. They want to make sure they have some insurance. Just, you know, never hurts to have it. No insurance when you're dealing with weapons and with guns and drugs at times. You know, a little insurance doesn't hurt. So they go around there. They make the deal. Teddy has a meeting with Lorena, who is, of course, the wife of Alejandro, who was killed at the season finale of season one. So he leaves Teddy. He leaves Matt and Avi by themselves, which probably is not the best idea, but he had no choice. Avi, so they go in the hotel. The deal's been done. They're in this plush hotel. Avi's getting, is getting a massage. You know, he's getting a massage by a naked woman. Matt is just having the time of his life, receiving oral sex from a woman, and, you know, and with the blinds open. Now, Matt is, of course, still, he's in the game, but he's not of the game, so which is a difference. Teddy, of course, immediately almost goes into a panic because, you know, Teddy knows that this is all been orchestrated by the Panamanian, by the people who are watching them. They're trying to, you know, this has all been set up. These girls just didn't come up to him just out of nowhere because of their looks. So they're using this, in essence, to have, to get the one up on Matt, on Teddy and Matt, to get to know more information. Teddy tells Matt, look, did you use our names? Did you tell them CIA, as part of CIA? What did you say exactly? And basically says, hey, none of these people are your friends. Like, nobody's going to give you anything. If somebody gives you something like that, it has to be something that's in return, whether it be information or certainly he says that their phones were tapped and the place was bugged, which probably was. So Matt, you know, gets a little lesson. Again, this is where Teddy is good, when Teddy is at his best, because he knows his business upside down, inside out. When he's calm and when he's relaxed and when he's really in his bag from that standpoint, he, you know, Teddy, you know, understands the game, and he, again, schools back to what's going on here in regards to the CIA. And then, you know, we see them at the bar after Matt has, you know, finished with the young lady. We see them go to the bar and we get some background, some context on their life, on their upbringing, which is pure dysfunction. I mean, Teddy hates his father. Matt sympathizes and empathizes with the father. Their mother, we find out, walked completely out on them. And Teddy basically says, you know, his father pushed her to do so. Matt says, nah, she was basically a piece of shit, and she walked out with Beauregard, and didn't say anything. So they end up toasting, saying fuck both of them. So that just gives you a sense of where they are at, like what they had to go through in regards to their background. And they basically crack jokes face to say, did you ever think that we would be here basically dealing arms in Panama? And Matt says, in essence says no. So we get a little background on Matt and Teddy relationship, or their family dynamic. You get Teddy really telling Matt, how this game is played and how we got to be careful about every move that's made. From that standpoint, Gabriella Lucia also the Las Marcas, some of the Las Marcas men, including Oso's brother. So they all meet at the warehouse. This is coming off, of course, Gabriella, Lorena, Soledad, whose real name is Lorena, shooting and killing Stomper and a couple of his men. Gabriella, of course, is the queen pin. She comes in. And she's having the trouble. They, before they almost get into it with, Oso and Gabriella, and Lucia, because they know something that wasn't right. Something's going amiss with Stomper and them not returning. They want, they said, of course, Lucia said they held up their end of the bargain as far as the deal that they were waiting, in essence, to get their money. Gabriella sends everybody out. She wants to talk to Lucille by herself. Now, Gabriella gives Lucille a background on her life and what her upbringing. She never was going to be a housewife. She never was going to have a lot of kids, any kids at all. She always has been about the game. And she sees right through Lucille and all the bullshit. She grabs her shoulder, which, of course, we know Lucille was shot last week. She basically turns, what seemingly is an obstacle into a clear advantage, where she forces Lucille to pay her $1.5 million, $500,000 for every Monarca that was killed. And basically, and Lucille says, Lucille says, I can give you the recipe, which, of course, we know Lucille doesn't have at this point. We'll get to that later on in the podcast. But she, we see a real queen pin at work during this scene. And, Gabriella just says, hey, if I had a daughter, I would want her to be you. I see your ambition. I see what you desire. And so you see, Gabrielle, you see the levels of this, as much as vicious as we think Lucille is, which she can be. Gabriella is like 10 times, Gabriella is smarter, been a game longer, and she saw right through Lucille and all the lies that she was telling during the initial part of the meeting. So you have that. So now Lucille and Oso are in a pickle, a rock and a hard place, to say the least, and we'll see how they respond. Lucille, Oso, and Kevin. So this is basically the final scene of the episode, where you have Lucille and Oso, who have been turned down by Franklin, by the way, for the recipe. They met with Franklin earlier in the episode and said, wanted to make a trade for the recipe. We'll give you the persons who killed Kevin's cousin and Victor and D-Ray. And Franklin just flat out says no. Like, I can't. If it were anything else, yes, but I can't give you this. I can't give you. And he turns them down. So of course they are desperate right now. Again, they understand how bad Kevin wanted revenge. So they tap in. They go to Kevin directly. Go to his house after he brought some food for his family. So not only do they offer Kevin, the person who killed his cousin, they offer him a side deal in terms of pure cocaine off the boat that will allow him to make some money aside from what he's doing with Franklin. So Kevin They leave Kevin with a offer to ponder, and we'll see how that turns out. And that's how the episode wrapped up. MVP Nia, who is the shelter advocate for, of course, Alton. She encourages Franklin to help Alton out. She explains how that Alton has been clean since he's been out. Franklin was reluctant at first, but ends up helping Alton out with some paperwork. And allows Alton, so he gets Alton. Basically, he helps Alton out. Then he tries to come on to Nia. She immediately shoots him down because Nia knows that he's a drug dealer. He's in the game. And listen, it's never bad to have someone watching your back. Social worker, shelter advocate, whoever those people in those careers do. Yeoman's work, do a lot of work that doesn't get noticed unless you are in that particular field or in that, where it's education as well, social workers. So that she, in essence, probably saved Alton's life because who knows, if he doesn't get the help from her and Franklin doesn't help him, he may have went back to the bottle. And, again, anytime you're dealing with addiction, there's a fine line between being clean and going back to that lifestyle is a very thin line. That's why, you'll see guys, people who are out who are 25 years sober still going to meetings. So she's the MVP for helping out. Or it could easily be Gabriella as well for the move that she pulled, turning a situation that, could have been, that was messy into her advantage and getting $1.5 million out of it. But I gave Nina the MVP of this episode. That's going to wrap it up, this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I will see you next time as we look at episode 7 of the hit series Snowfall, The World Is Yours. Again, these last 4 episodes are going to be tremendous as the season went out, ended with a bang in essence. Like these last 4 episodes where things really got rolling, you're going to see some betrayal. You're going to see, these characters continue to evolve. And who knows, we might see the return of Louis back into the mix. I will see you next time. Have a great rest of your weekend. So long.